Well, friends, as we learn from experience, our decisions determine the direction and the quality of our lives. In 2012, I had to make a really big decision. Up to that point, I had been in college and graduate school for about 16 years preparing to be a seminary professor. This was my dream, and I spent countless hours and tens of thousands of dollars pursuing that dream. While writing my doctoral dissertation, I served as the pastor of Dundee United Methodist Church and also taught as an adjunct professor at Florida Southern College. But in 2011, I was faced with the decision of either buckling down and finishing my dissertation so that I could apply for jobs as a professor, or discontinuing my studies and dedicating my life to parish ministry. And this was an incredibly difficult decision. And let me tell you, everybody in my life had lots of advice to give. After lots of soul searching, I firmly believe that God had called me to be a pastor, and I no longer wanted to pursue a degree that I didn't need or write a dissertation that I no longer enjoyed. And this decision would change the direction and the quality of my life in significant ways. As a result, I was able to stay in Florida, close to my family and friends, which probably would not have been the case had I applied for professorships. I was blessed to minister to good Christian people over the years who also ministered to me, and many of these relationships deeply shaped who I am today. I also met and fell in love with Emma and Evie and Isaac, and extended my family in ways that would also shape my identity. Finally, I met all of you, and my time here at First UMC Cocoa Beach has been transformative. But just as I said yes to all of these blessings, I had to say no to others. Had I decided to become a professor, I would not be with you this morning, and my life would look radically different. Why? Because our decisions matter. Every decision we make helps determine the direction and the quality of our lives. And we know this intuitively, don't we? Think about the big decisions that you have made or refused to make in your life, and how they set a trajectory that would draw you into a particular kind of future. Think about how your life would be different if you had made different choices. Sometimes when we think about past decisions, we experience regret. We regret that we didn't think things through, use better judgment, or act in ways that would help us get where we actually wanted to go. Or maybe we regret the decision to choose a whole direction altogether. Maybe you let your parents have too much influence in choosing a career, only to hit midlife and realize that the job makes you miserable. Or maybe someone else made decisions along the way that seriously impacted your life, and you regret the way that you handled it, the way that you responded, and where that led you. Or other times we look back and we think, I'm so glad that I made that decision because now I feel like I'm exactly where God wants me. How many of you guys have thought back over all the people that you have dated and said to yourself, I really dodged a bullet? This kind of reflection reminds us that we are where we are today because of the decisions that we've made, or because of how we have responded to the decisions of others. We decide our way forward. We create our future by the decisions that we make. But you are not the only one who is impacted by your decisions. And you are not the only one who is impacted by your regrets. More precisely, our decisions not only impact the direction and quality of our lives, but also the lives of others. While we may not ultimately know who will be touched by our decisions or how they will be touched by our decisions, we do know that our decisions, all of our decisions, impact other people. Some will have a good impact and some a bad. Some will be consequential, others inconsequential. But even the ones that seem inconsequential and small, when added up over the time, have a big impact. Some decisions will be felt by people that you know, and others by people that you don't know. Some will be limited in impact to today and tomorrow, and others will have ramifications for years, even generations. Think of the kid who grows up with an alcoholic parent. Every day that dad wakes up, he has a decision to keep drinking or to get sober. And the parent who chooses to keep drinking not only hurts himself, but the entire family. A kind of hurt that is passed from one generation to the next. And there are some people in this room who have felt that generational impact. But the parent who decides to get into recovery and stop drinking, they can break the cycle and release a healing power in their family that will not only impact their children, but their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. Or think about marriages that unravel and how parents can move forward with a divorce in ways that will help their kids heal or perpetuate their confusion and pain. These are just a couple of examples of what psychologists sometimes call generational trauma. Our decisions matter. And once we remember how our decisions impact others, we are reminded of an important truth. All private decisions have public outcomes. Are you awake, church? We don't like to admit this. We like to figure out all ways that we can to make this not true. But it seems to be a fact of human existence that all private decisions will have public outcomes. You may think that you're making private, even secret decisions that don't affect anybody except you, but this is not true. They always affect the people around us in direct or indirect ways. Since our decisions alter our mood and affect how we think about ourselves and how we relate to other people, even our most private decisions work their way into the hearts and lives of others. So, if our decisions are this important and we really want to get it right, which I know that we do, what's the best way forward when learning to make better decisions so that we can have fewer regrets? What is the best approach? Because there's more than one, right? And I believe that the answer to this question leads us to an important connection between the decisions that we make and the kinds of questions that we ask about life. Just as the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your decisions, the quality of your decisions is determined by the kinds of questions that you ask in the decision-making process. And we know from experience that good questions usually lead to good decisions, and bad questions or no questions usually lead to bad decisions. And this truth is often overlooked because people are much more inclined to give advice than to ask questions. Is this your experience? Why? Because asking good questions doesn't come natural to most people. It's a skill that is learned and cultivated over time. So if your parents were quick to tell you what to do, if they did not teach you to ask good questions or create a safe place for you to wrestle with questions and make your own decisions, then it will be difficult as an adult. And this has serious consequences. If someone is more interested in telling you what to do than teaching you how to make good decisions, it can paralyze your decision-making as an adult, making you either overly dependent upon others or foolhardy and irresponsible. Without a safe place to practice making decisions and a safe place to learn from our successes and failures, when we get older, we can be afraid to make decisions at all and expect counselors, pastors, mentors, friends, colleagues, family members to tell us what to do. And this can perpetuate guilt and shame. Because if we ask other people to tell us what to do and they oblige us, but then we choose to do something else, we open ourselves to their disappointment, judgment, and even anger. Instead of empowering us with good questions, they disempower us by saying, you should do this, or you must do that. Many years ago, a wise person told me not to should on myself or others, and not to let others should on me. In addition to those who become overly dependent, still other people become rebellious and compulsive. And so, fearful of making good decisions, they simply throw all caution to the wind and jump right into something without thinking it through. In contrast to both of these expressions of brokenness, the healthiest and wisest people around us know the value of not giving unsolicited advice. Now, I want to say, if you're feeling convicted, me too. I am in the process now of trying to change my parenting style to ask more questions and give less advice. It's hard to do. But the healthiest and wisest people around us, those who tend to be most helpful, they don't give unsolicited advice. They don't rush to answer someone else's question. They don't jump in to solve someone else's problems by telling them what they should or must do. Rather, wisdom invites them to get curious. If you don't write anything else down this morning, I would invite you to write down, get curious. Get curious. That changes everything. Wisdom helps them to get curious, to ask good questions so that they can really wrestle with the issues and make their own decisions. Letting the chips fall wherever they may and giving ourselves and other people permission to make mistakes, to make bad decisions, and to learn along the way. So if you're still contemplating a New Year's resolution, maybe consider switching from being an advice giver to being a question asker. Don't be the person who thinks that everyone wants to know what you think about every issue that comes up in conversation. Refrain from telling people what you think they should or must do, and learn how to empower them with well-placed, appropriately timed, thought-provoking questions, which creates space. Space to breathe, space to move, space to wrestle with issues so that we can make our own decisions and be responsible for those decisions. And that is what I want to model this morning and in the next several weeks in this message series. From here on out, I'm going to present five crucial questions for the next 5 weeks that will help you make good decisions. And I believe that if you take these questions and you ponder them personally, answer them honestly, and act on them intentionally, that they will change your decision-making process and make your life better. So what exactly are these questions? Number one, this is what we're going to talk about next week. Am I really being honest with myself? This seems like an obvious question, but it's very difficult because human beings have an incredible capacity for self-deception. We have an incredible capacity to be a great salesman to ourselves, to sell our own ideas to ourselves, to justify things. But the very first question we ought to be asking is, as I'm contemplating this decision, am I being really honest with myself, rigorously honest with myself? Number two, after this decision or these decisions are made, what story do I want to tell about my life? What story do I want to tell my kids and grandkids? Or what story do I want others to tell about me when I'm gone? Number three, does this align with what I know in my heart to be good and true? Is this decision moral? It's important, folks. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, we have to be reading the New Testament, and we have to be discerning the value system of the kingdom of God, and we have to be measuring our decisions against that value system. And I want you to think about the decisions that we've seen a lot of other people make in the news and some of the decisions that we have made, that if we would have stopped and asked ourselves the question, is this the right thing to do? Is this a good decision? Is it a moral decision? We could be saved so much heartache and so much regret. Number four, what does wisdom require in this situation? Which points to all of the saints that have gone before. All of the people who have lived nice long lives and have learned really hard lessons through experience and have been able to integrate those lessons and to cultivate a kind of wisdom, which we also see distilled in the Bible. What does wisdom require in this situation? Then finally, perhaps the most important, as followers of Jesus, what does love require in this situation? Is it a loving choice for myself? Is it a loving choice for others? Is it going to increase my love for God? The overarching goal in the series is going to be to ponder these questions personally, to answer them honestly, and to act intentionally so that we can create a decision-making framework that will help us in every area of life. Because when we make better decisions, we have fewer regrets. Importantly, you already have a decision-making grid. You may not realize it, but every time you make an important decision, you are asking yourself a set of questions. Will I enjoy this? Is it going to be fun? Will this hurt me? Will it hurt somebody else? Can I get away with it? So some of these questions are helpful, and some of them are not, but you already have a decision-making grid. And so I want in this series, in addition to presenting these questions and getting you to ponder them and to act on them, I want to surface the questions that already make up your decision-making grid, and I want to give you a chance to evaluate them against the five biblical questions that are going to drive our reflections. In the meantime, I want to invite you to memorize and ponder a verse of Scripture throughout the week that will prepare you for what's to come, the other five messages. And the verse is what we read this morning, Proverbs 27:12, and it says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." Another translation says, "They keep going and suffer." To be prudent means to be careful about how we move into the future, to be thoughtful, to plan, to use good judgment. Prudent people accept the fact that life is connected and that their decisions not only affect them, but also others. And this allows them to see danger coming. It empowers them to look at all the possible outcomes, to imagine all the possible outcomes, to connect the dots, to understand where things can go wrong, and to respond appropriately and with wisdom. In contrast, the simple-minded act as if life is disconnected. They assume that they can compartmentalize their decisions and actions, that they can hide what they are doing and prevent it from affecting those around them. And when they stop to think about it, they know better. But the problem is, they don't ever stop to think about it. They move into the future compulsively, reactively, with little or no thought. And their motto is, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. Consequently, they don't see danger coming. They just keep heading straight toward it. And the unavoidable consequence of this foolhardy approach is a lot of unnecessary suffering. This passage in Proverbs is a good one to memorize and ponder because it can prepare us to be prudent over the next 5 weeks in asking, answering, and acting on the five questions in this series. And again, this will help us to make better decisions and have fewer regrets. And it will not only help us to be happier, but it will also make the people around us happier too, because we will be able to relate to them in ways that are more loving and kind.